We have the one, the only Tozin. He's in the studio for. We've got our movie review of the week, and we've got to mention the hair.
Mm.
We've got to mention the hair, dude.
Because you've
had like a grade. What's that? A grade three? A grade two?
Well, I think it's a grade three on top and a grade one at the size.
So you sounded like a minion then. Mm.
Oh.
Have you been to see it?
I have been to see Minions, yes.
I'm envious. We've been talking about the Minions for the last little while, and we've just been hearing little clips and things. So you've seen that movie, so it's being reviewed. Which one are you reviewing first, that, or have you got something else?
Let's go with Minions first, and then we'll go with Mr. Holmes second.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes, Minions. Okay, cool. So I think with Minions, everybody knows the Minions. Everyone's seen Despicable Me. And the Minions were essentially the breakout characters of Despicable Me, where even after you watch the film, as good as Despicable Me was, everybody started talking about the Minions, and they became the big they became the big sort of like merchandising thing. Now you get the Minions toys and the Minions this and the Minions that. So they went the whole hog, and they've given them their own Minions movie. And before I watched this, my issue was always the Minions are cool in really, really little bits. So you have Gru doing his thing, and you have all the other characters in Despicable Me. And they have the Minions, and they show up, and they do like a 5-minute, 10-minute thing, and then you laugh your head off, and then something else happens, and then you come back and you have the Minions again. And I was worried because the Minions don't really, well, they talk, but they don't really talk English. They're kind of, it's a weird mix of English, Spanish, with some French thrown in there, and gibberish, quite frankly. And I was worried about how they could actually go ahead and like sustain a whole movie. And I think the producers of the film realized that. So the film is actually quite short. It's about 88 minutes short, which nowadays is quite a short film. But they do actually manage to pull it off. They managed to pull it off in the right from the beginning, because you know it's made by Universal, the film studio. I know Universal have this
Superman, isn't it?
No, it sounds like it, but is it? But at the beginning of the film, it's made by Universal, and the whole Universal fanfare, the Minions do it. So you have like this globe, and you have the words Universal coming around the world, and you're like da 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 da. And from the beginning, you just have this massive smile on your face, because it just cracks you up, because all you need is to put the Minions on. And so obviously, if you're going to have a whole film with the Minions, you need to have some sort of storyline of what it is. So the first bit of the film goes through this sort of, it's like they do it almost like a history of Minions, with this sort of David Attenborough-like voiceover about Minions, and the whole thing is about the evolution of Minions from single cells and all that kind of stuff. And the whole idea is the Minions have they're a race that they exist to find the biggest bad guy around, and then follow that big bad guy, and then serve that big bad guy. So they show them like underwater in prehistoric times, and then they see this big fish, so they start following this fish. Then the fish gets swallowed by a bigger fish, and they go, ooh, and they start following the fish that swallows the other fish, and it carries on like that until they get out of the water, and then a T-Rex stumps on whatever it is they were following, so they start following. So they look at the T-Rex and they go, oh, boss! And then they all start following this T-Rex. But the thing is, because the Minions are so clumsy, they inadvertently cause the death of whatever boss it is that they're serving.
I've seen a clip of that where they're looking over what they pushed him into, something hot, and they
essentially push the T-Rex into a volcano.
Oh.
Yeah, and so that bit is all really, really quite funny. And then but obviously there's loads of Minions, so they break it down to three main Minions that you follow. So you follow Kevin, Stewart, and Bob as they leave the rest of the Minions somewhere cold, looks like Antarctica or something. And then they travel the world looking for a boss to serve. And then they have a character who's voiced by Sandra Bullock called Scarlet Overkill, who's like the biggest bad person around, and whose aim is to steal the crown jewels of England, because she wants Queen Elizabeth's hat. So she gets the Minions to actually serve her in doing this, and it's all about what happens with the Minions and all that kind of stuff. And it's one of the clever things I think about the film is that they set it in the 60s. So this is way before Gru comes up, way before Gru shows up. You actually have the Minions in the 60s walking around, and they have some fun with what London looked like in the 60s with the whole, like, you know, peace, love. There's a bit where they have a mind control hat, and they do something that's actually, that I think is quite funny. Well, funny / disturbing, depending on how you look at it. I think it's quite a good film. It's quite a good film. It's got a good voice cast, and the Minions will the Minions will crack you up. That's the thing. The Minions should. Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need.
All right,
I finished
now.
Okay, cool. No, but that's all. The film has that thing about it is like it's just great watching the minions do things in their own minion way. Like one of them wants to be a minion. One of the minions wants to be a rock star, so he walks into like 60s New York and he sees like these guitars and he's like, oh, because all he has is a ukulele and he dreams of himself as like some sort of Jimi Hendrix of minions kind of thing. Another one of them finds himself to be like a bit of a ladies' man, and once he sees anything yellow. So he sees like this yellow fire hydrant and he starts hitting on the yellow fire hydrant. He's like, hey, uve vita bella. Trying to be like this whole thing. So it's quite funny. I think there's bits where I think they might have realized that they can't really sustain like a 90-minute thing with the minions and all that kind of stuff. So there's some bits of it where it lulls a little bit, but then they just which it feels almost as if they've put in, okay, this 5 minutes is just to get us to the next bit where the minions are doing something really, really great.
Right.
And so some of the characters feel like it's just, okay, what are you doing in there? You don't really understand. But in the end of the day, who cares? It's minions.
It sounds like a whole load of fun. I still want to go and see it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about being colorblind earlier on. The reason why I like it is because of the yellow. I love yellow, but it just stands out.
Yeah.
And I could see myself dressing up as a minion.
Yeah,
quite a lot.
That.
Oh, good Lord,
fun.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can actually see that.
So, a mark out of 10. Five.
I'll give it 3 out of 5.
I'll
give 3 out of 5. It's, but I mean, I think especially if you have kids, it's probably like, you know, best thing ever. So I think it's 3 out of 5 just from a film perspective.
Three out of five.
Yeah, but the truth is,
we're running out of time.
Yeah,
let's go on to movie number two.
Movie number two is Mr. Holmes. This is Ian McKellen playing Sherlock Holmes, and it's weird because I would have thought that this would have happened before now. That Ian McKellen would play Sherlock Holmes. It just seems like such a perfect fit. But apparently it hasn't happened. I can't find anything of Ian McKellen playing Sherlock Holmes. So this is a film that's set at the end of Sherlock Holmes' life. He's 93 years old. He's no longer in London, no longer in Baker Street. He's in something that they never say where it is in the film, but it looks like Dover. They keep showing white cliffs. Some bits of it look like they could be Freshwater Bay, to be honest with you.
Could be Sandown.
It could be Sandown. Yeah, there's some bits of where I was like, did they sneakily film this on the island or something? Because some bits of it really do look like that. But that's where he's looking after bees, and he's 93 years old, he's beginning to lose his memory, he's getting to the end of his life, and he's trying to find these different ways of getting his memory going, because there's one final case that he did, the last case he worked. He knows that he worked this case, and he knows that after this case he retired, but he can't remember why he retired, and he can't remember what made him retire. So Dr. Watson by this time is long dead. And Dr. Watson wrote as he writes, because all the Sherlock Holmes stories, the whole idea is that it's Dr. Watson writing what Sherlock Holmes actually did.
Right.
And so he reads the story that Dr. Watson wrote, but he says, no, this isn't quite what happened. Watson has embellished it. Watson has made it better and has made me look like what I'm not. But I want to remember exactly what happened. So the whole film is essentially almost like a quest of him going back in time, trying to figure out what happened and trying to write down what happened in his final case. Before, so that he can get it all set, and he can get it all set before he dies.
Do you know what? You saying all of that, I want to go and watch it now. But hearing it or seeing it before, thinking, another Sherlock Holmes movie. I mean, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch was brilliant in the series. Yeah. Who was
Robert
the other
Downey
guy?
Jr. in the films.
Very
Johnny
recently.
Miller in Elementary in the States.
But this is different.
This is totally different. This is not. It's not your Sherlock Holmes thing. It's not Sherlock Holmes walking around being all, oh, look how smart I am. You're all idiots. It really, and that's the thing that really surprised me about it, because I thought, oh, it would be interesting to see what a 93-year-old Sherlock Holmes tries to do while solving a case. But it's almost kind of as if it's almost treated as if the case he's trying to solve is his own memory. He's trying to figure out what is it that I can't remember, why can't I remember, what actually happened. And it just tells you how great Ian McKellen is as an actor. The guy is brilliant, because he plays the 93 Sherlock Holmes, and you think, okay, yeah, it's old, but he plays him not like a caricature of an old man or anything. Like, he just plays him as an old man, but then he also plays Sherlock Holmes 30 years younger, because the case he's trying to remember, because by this time he's been retired for 35 years, and the case he's trying to remember was 35 years ago. So he plays Sherlock Holmes 35 years ago after World War One, and the difference in the two characters being played by the same man is amazing.
Yeah.
You look at them and you straight away say, yeah, that guy looks 30 years older than that guy. And
great,
it's not
makeup job.
It's not even makeup.
No.
It's not makeup. It's just him acting. It's brilliant. I mean, it's such
Who plays Watson?
Oh, Watson's dead. So
he's
Watson's already in the film.
Yeah, but if they go back 30 years, he must be in it.
Well, they never really show Watson.
Oh,
because Watson isn't like... So they talk about Watson, when they go back 30 years, it's like by that time Watson's already gone married and left Baker Street.
Oh, cutbacks. Cutbacks have even hit.
So at the end of the film, at the end of the film, you do actually get a credit that says Watson played by somebody called Colin Starkey or something like that, but you never actually see his face.
Oh, right.
You see a blurred thing. You see Watson's hands writing. You see Watson looking after Holmes and all that kind of stuff, because this final case actually does it. Affects Holmes seriously, and I think it's well worth it. And there's a really, really, sometimes when you get kids in films and kids and or adult characters playing against each other, it can get very mawkish and it can get very annoying. But there's a really great relationship between Holmes and his housekeeper's son,
right?
It's kind of like the heart of the film. It's like the heart driving force of the film, and there's some just heartbreaking moments in it. But it's all in all, it's a great film.
I'm feeling a good mark coming on.
It is a good mark. It's a 4 out of 5.
A 4 out of 5. Okay.
It's definitely a 4 out of 5.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. But what are you going to see?
You'll see me in about 3 weeks' time because I'm off on holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm off on holiday. I'm going to the Dominican Republic.
Ow.
Oh.
Never mind.
Yeah. But
could you get anywhere nicer?
I tried.
Skeggy's good.
Feel sorry for you.
I actually want to go to Skegness.
Yeah.
I want to go to Skegness. I mean,
there's bracing.
I've heard stuff all about Skegness all these years, and I want to know why do people slate it so much. I want to go to Skegness. I want to go to Margate.
down the Margate.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song. Anyway, we've run out of time. Thank you. Have a great holiday.
I will do.
And we'll see you when you get back in a few weeks' time.